All right, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. And God, you blow my mind just day in and day out, seeing what you do, not only in my life, but just the people's lives around me, and seeing how you're growing people up. You're trying their hearts. You're calling them out. You're stretching their faith, and just seeing people just being obedient to the call. That's just really awesome. And so, Lord, I do thank you for the class just rolling on, even when Paige and I have been out over the last month or so. And it's just there's so many people that can just stand in the gap. And so I do thank you for a church that's busy about your business. There's everybody's got things going on, and we still are just serious about what you're doing. And God, we know it's not just here. It's here. It's down the street. It's around the world, Lord. But, you know, we have to start where we're at and just use what we have in our hand. And so I pray you'd speak to us today as we get back into the book of Jonah. It feels like it's been a little bit, but I'm excited to jump back in. Just speak to us, try our hearts, and just call us out to be more like you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Jonah. So that's where we're at. We've been going through this. I'm going to do a little bit of review because it's been a little bit of time. But I want to jump back into this. Jonah chapter 3 is where we're at. We're getting ready to get started. Gotta get there. Okay, so if you'll remember, way back when, and I kind of told you guys the backstory to this, but I felt like God was really just putting on my heart, you know, the book of Jonah. I'm always praying about. I'm already praying about where we're going after Jonah, even though, you know, it's probably still several months away. It'll probably be the first of the year before we get done with Jonah, and we're in chapter 3 already. But that's just how it goes. But anyway, it was just this question that God had just been rolling through my mind and rolling through just where we're at as a class. I know where, you know, a lot of you guys are at as families, and as, you know, we consider ourselves the young adult class. You know, some of us are not quite as young as we used to be, but, you know, it's all good. We're all still just trying to serve the Lord. But the point is, like, what is it that God is telling me to do? And so that's where I really wanted to get to, because that's what the book of Jonah is really about. Like, what is it that God wants me to do, and am I going to do something with it? Right? You get to answer that question. But before we did that, I felt like I wanted to make sure you guys had handles on what is it that God told you to do. And so we did that little short. I said short. It ended up being a little longer because it always is with me. But the family life study, just the basics of, you know, what has God told me to do, you know, just as a follower? What has he told me to do as a husband or as a wife, as a parent, you know, as a minister, all of those things. And so I didn't want you to come into the book of Jonah and have the, well, I don't know what God told me to do, so that doesn't really apply to me. So I wanted to make sure we touched all those bases, because God has called everyone in here to do something. And honestly, God has called a lot of us in here to do a lot of somethings. And, you know, that's ministry. That's just part of life. And so anyway, that's kind of how we got here. And, you know, we've been going through it. We obviously, you know, God, well, back up real quick. I told you at the beginning of this study, and a lot of you have probably forgotten this, and I want to make sure we get back to, you know, this as we go through each and every week, is, you know, I had three questions I want you to ask yourself just week in and week out as we just pull things from what's going on in the life of Jonah, and what's going on with what God is doing in his life. And so the first one was, what is it that God told me to do? You know, the second one was, am I actually taking steps to follow what God told me to do? It's one thing to know what God said. It's another thing to actually be proactive and do something about it. Right? There's a verse, I'll have to think of it. It's like halfway in my brain, but I can't put it together. But anyway, the last question is, how is God getting the glory? Because one way or the other, God will get the glory. Is it because of you, or is it in spite of you, right? God will get the glory in every circumstance, good, bad, or otherwise. God gets the glory. He is on the throne. But are you actually a part of getting him the glory? You know, go back to the last time I was actually here, and I took like a week side study and just compared Amos to Jonah. You know, they're contemporaries in life. And, you know, we talked about the prophet of the people. And go back and listen to that, because that was, that actually rocked my world as far as, you know, is God spending so much time dealing with the prophet, meaning you, the proclaimer, that he never actually gets to use you to get to the people, right? Because you just don't ever get out of your own way. And so go back and listen to that. It was really good. But anyway, those are the three questions. Like, what is it that he told me to do? Am I actually taking steps to do them? And how is God getting glory? Is it because of or in spite of? So anyway, chapter 1, God's like, hey, Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh and basically preach to these people. And Jonah's like, Yeah, I don't really think so. That's not really on my plans, God. Sounds good that that's what you like, but that's not what I'm into. Right? And so we read that and we're like, how could this guy be so foolish? But yet I look at my own life and, well, I'm pretty foolish too. God's like, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is who I want you to talk to. This is, the person that I want you to reach out to. I want you to connect with. I want you to minister to. I want you to, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm just busy. I don't really want to do that. And sometimes we get so caught up and I don't want to do that that we just go the other way, just like Jonah did, right? And then it's like, well, wait a minute. We just called Jonah a fool, but yep, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror. So anyway, God says go. Jonah's like, nah, I'm not doing it. And so, you know, he jumps on the boat to go as far away as humanly possible at that time, right? We look at it and we're like, well, that's just another place. Well, that's as far as you could get away at that time in the world, the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. So he goes. Obviously, God's like, all right, if that's what you want to do, I'll let you go. I've just got something for you as you do. And we talked about, you know, how God can use the storms in your life to try to get your attention. And at the end of the day, you know, God used a situation where Jonah was running to what? To reach people. He still did. He reached all these guys, these pagan sailors, through Jonah's disobedience. Again, how is God getting the glory? Is it because of you or is it in spite of you? Because he will get the glory one way or the other. And then, you know, at the end of chapter 1, he uses the fish. You know, that's what it says. And the thing I wanted you to remember about the fish is don't think that God doesn't know the fish in your life. Don't think God doesn't know what it will take to bring you to your knees if you're going to be that disobedient. Some of us are like, yeah, I don't want to do what God says. And he'll let you go for a while. But don't think God doesn't know what the fish is in your life that will bring you to your knees. And I would encourage you not to get to that point. But anyway, go back. You can go back and check all those things on the podcast or whatever. You get to chapter 2. You know, Jonah, we talked about the difference between worldly repentance and godly repentance. And we see that Jonah, you know, was brought to his knees. And he got to the point where he had no expectation as he prayed this prayer to get out of the fish. It wasn't like, hey, I'll repent and God will get me out of here. He was at a point where he was at the end of himself. And yet he's praying to God saying, if nothing else, I want to end on good terms with God. Right. And so he prays and he has no expectation to get out of the fish. But God's got other plans. Just like in your life, God's got other plans. And, you know, the fish vomits him out on the sea. You go back and there's a lot of pictures there and, you know, how this actually did happen. This isn't, you know, hyperbole. The Bible says what it says. You know, it means what it says and it says what it means. And so anyway, that gets us to chapter 3, right? And that's where we're at. And so in chapter 1, Jonah had two options. The very first week we started in the book of Jonah, I told you, he had two options. God said, hey, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. And he had two options. He could either hear God and obey, or he could hear God and disobey, right? You will hear from the Lord one way or the other. If you're going to open this book, you will hear from him. If you're going to stumble into the church, even if it was with the completely wrong heart attitude, you will hear from the Lord at some point, right? That's what happens. So you have to decide, am I going to obey or am I going to disobey? Because this is what God has told me to do. And so now in chapter 3, we've spent 6 months now, maybe even more, getting to here, and we're right back to square one. We're right back to the fact that Jonah has the same two options. I can either hear God and obey after everything that I just went through, or I can hear God and say, yeah, I still just don't really want to do that. I don't like those people. I'm doing Israel a favor by not doing this. He has a choice to obey. And so if you're a titled person, you want a title for today, God's Great Second Chance, right? That's the title for today. God's Great Second Chance. And, you know, if you've got kids, you know, you've probably heard the old Veggie Tales, you know, God's all about second chances. But man, Jonah gets a second chance for real. And so do we. Think about, I'm not even talking about when you're lost. Obviously, when you were lost and God reached out and finally got your attention, obviously you had a second chance. But I'm talking about as a Christian, how often do we fall off where we ought to be? And I'm not even talking about some egregious sin. Obviously, if you're in some sort of sin that you know is wrong, then you got to get right. Like, you've got to repent. You've got to go back to chapter 2 and figure out what you missed. Okay? But I'm talking about some of us that are just like, God, what is it that you want me to do? And God says, this is what it is. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, but I don't really like that. And I feel like I could do something different. I feel like I could maybe even do something better than that. I feel like you could use somebody else for that. And I've been there. I've done that. I've bought the t-shirt. Use me for something else, God. But that's not what God told you to do. You know, we've seen so many times that God is not in the business of you just bouncing around in ministry. If he's going to call you somewhere, it'll be more obvious than a billboard on the side of the highway. Right? And until he tells you to do something different, I would encourage you to keep doing what he told you to do until then. Too often we're like, okay, this is what God said to do, and we go and do it for a while, and we're like, okay, I did that. Check mark. But that's not what God says. He says, do this until when? Well, he says until I come. Or, we know by comparing scripture with scripture, until I tell you to do something different. So just because you get bored with it doesn't mean that God is bored with anything. He's using you. He's growing you. He's molding you. And he's making you more like him, even through the things that you think aren't sexy, the ministries that you think aren't cool, right? And you know what? God gets the glory no matter what. And so, you know, we think, well, I don't know. I don't really want to do that. And it's the same thing. God's like, hey, I know you made the wrong choice, but here we are. We're back to square one. That's how God always does it. He will always bring you back, right? He will always bring you back to the same question. Okay, are you ready to obey? Are you ready to, you know, or not? And so let's just read this chapter. It's only 10 verses. We're only going to get through a couple verses today, but I just want to get our minds wrapped around where we're going. And so, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, interestingly enough, it's the same thing, right? In verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah, well, at least he got this part right. He arose, and he went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. Verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. This is like the best, you know, missionary way to get the word out ever. You know, he's got the best plan ever. He's like, what's he say? I can only imagine what he sounds like when he says it, because he doesn't want to be there. Here's what he says. And he cried, saying, yet 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. I can just see him walking through the city. 40 days, y'all are toast, right? 40 days, you got it coming. I don't want to be here, but that's what it is. He doesn't have any like ministry plan. He's like, I'm just doing what I was told. Doesn't want to be there. Got a bad heart about it. I can only assume that. That's just how I read it. But, you know, maybe not. Anyway, we'll get into that in a few weeks, but that's a completely different, topic. But anyway, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Oh, can you believe that? God knew what he was doing, right? And proclaimed a fast and put sackcloth from greatest of them even to least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth and ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man or beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry unto God. Again, is he getting glory because of you or in spite of you? Yea. Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. And he said that he would not do unto them. And he said that he would not do unto them, and he did it not. And Jonah's in the background like, that's what I thought he was going to do, God. I knew you were too good. You go to chapter 4, that's what he's like. I told you, God, this is what you were going to do. That's why I didn't want to go in the first place. I wanted him to burn. I wanted you to kill him. That's what he's thinking. We'll get there. It'll be a while. We'll get there. But anyway, today, just in the first couple verses, here's what I got for you in the next, this week and next week. I told myself I was going to get through all four of these, and I realized this morning there's absolutely no way I'm getting through all four of these. So I know we'll get through one, maybe two today, and we'll finish them up next week. But here's what I've got. Four things to understand about obedience to the Lord. Because you know what? When you know what God has told you to do, whatever it is in your life, right? I know each and every one of you knows one thing, if not a whole bunch of things, that God is saying, hey, this is what you need to do. Some of you, it's just like, hey, let's actually be serious about getting the Bible daily. Like, let's be serious about getting something from the Word. Some of you, it's ministry. Some of it's whatever it is. But somebody, like, we all know that God is telling us to do something, right? To get a hold of something. And you know what? We think, oh, well, I screwed up like Jonah did. I messed it up. I did this, so there's no way that God's going to want me to do it. What did God do? He immediately brought Jonah right back to the point of decision. Will you obey or will you not? Let me just tell you something. God will always bring our Christianity, our following of him, our true heart back to one place. It's obedience. Right? He will always bring us back to one thing. Will you obey or not? Right? Will you follow me? What's the first thing he said to his disciples? Hey, just follow me. They didn't know to where. They didn't know to what. Now, if Jesus rolls up in your life today and he's like, follow me, and we've got 20 questions. Well, where are we going? Why are we doing that? Shouldn't we go this way? Isn't this going to be easier? Right? He just says, hey, this is what I want you to do. Follow me. Are you going to or not? Like, we try to, like, overcomplicate what Christianity is. When God tells you to do something, just simply follow him. Like, we're just like, well, that doesn't really fit into my life plan. Well, guess what? Who cares? God says, this is my plan. Are you a part of it or not? Are you going to obey or not? He will always bring it back to one place. It's obedience. So that's why I've got four things to understand about your obedience to the Lord. So here's your first one as we get into this. In the first couple verses here. Here's your first one. Your past disobedience does not change God's command. Your past disobedience does not change God's command. Everybody in here, if you've been saved for any amount of time, I hate to be like this, but I just know you. I know you because I am you. You failed at some point, right? You know God has said to do this at some point in your life, and you know what you did? You didn't do it. You were like, I want to, but I should, but, you know, we always got some sort of reason, right? Everybody in here, some of us, they're like huge things. Some of us are like, yeah, it's like so glaring that I just can't get over how bad I screwed that up. I messed that up. I should, anyway. But some of us, it's just simple. Like, man, I told myself at the beginning of the year I was going to be really serious about this book this year and reading it. And it seems like I just can't be serious about getting into it because life gets in the way, right? Well, guess what? You've got the same 24 hours that everybody else does. Your priorities need to change. Like, I know that's not like the easy thing to hear, but guess what? Your priorities need to change if you're going to be serious. And so we think, well, I just totally messed it up. I can't do it. Guess what? Your past disobedience doesn't change it. It doesn't do it. God will always bring you back to a decision of obedience, no matter what. If you've got kids, most of us, a lot of us in here, I really can't say most of us anymore, a lot of us in here have kids. Or have had, you know, have raised kids. It's just like child training. Hey, I want you to pick up your toys. I don't really want to. Well, guess what? I don't really care what you want. This is what you're going to do. You play with the toys, you pick them up. And they're like, well, I don't really want to. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's your choice, right? You don't have to get mad. It's a choice. Well, guess what? Your choice has consequences, right? Good or bad, your choice. And so, there's consequences. There's the rod. There's whatever you use for discipline. We can talk about child training a different day. That's a completely different rabbit trail we don't need to get into today. But, and then guess what? When you're done with that, you don't say, okay, now you can go. What do you say? Okay, hey, I need you to go pick up your toys. It's the same thing. You brought them back to the same decision. You made the decision once. It didn't really work out for you well. So I'm going to give you the same option again. What are you going to do this time? Do you think God is going to treat you any different than one of his kids? That's actually what it says in the New Testament. He's going to treat you like one of his children. And so when God says, hey, this is what I want you to do, and you're like, yeah, peace out, I'm not doing that. Right? I'm out. God's like, okay, well, this was your choice. Probably wasn't the best choice. Let's talk about it, right? Sometimes God's talking about it in our personal lives. It takes days, weeks, months, right? Sometimes we just feel like, man, it just seems like it's one thing after another, after another. Yeah, that's God's trying to get your attention. Like, hey, and then what's he going to do? Once you finally are like, oh my gosh, God, I totally missed the boat. Like, I need to be back in your will. And he doesn't say, okay, great. He does say, okay, great. But you know what else he adds? Are you going to pick up your toys? Right? It's no different than when our kids. He's going to bring you back to a point of decision. Are you going to obey or not? It's no different. He's going to treat you like a child. So what is it in your life that you know God is telling you to do? Like, I could ask that question and 90% of you would probably be able to write it down on a piece of paper. Except for if you write it down, then it's in stone and then it's like, oh, now it's for real. So I'm not going to make you do that. That's between you and the Lord. But what is it that God is telling you to do and you just know it? Because you know what Jesus says? If you love me, you'll follow me when it feels good. No, that's actually not what it says. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what that means? If you love me, if you're going to follow me, you're going to obey. You're going to say, oh, I don't like it, but if that's what he wants me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't like getting up at 4 a.m. to read my Bible because I know that work comes right after that and everything else comes right. And that's the only time that I know I can get quiet. But you know what? If I love him, then I'm going to obey. And I know that he's saying, hey, this has to be a priority. I don't know. I'm just using an example. Some of you, it could be, I don't know, I'm not going to fill in the blanks for you. I'm not your priest, but you guys know, like, you have a better high priest, it's Jesus. You know what he's telling you to do. If you love me, obey. Like, that's what he wants you to do. If God has clearly given you an answer on what he wants you to do, and maybe you don't really like that answer. Like, I know, this is what God said to do. And you're like, I'm not as rebellious as Jonah. I'm not running the other way. I'm just kind of turning my head a little bit. Like, you don't see me. I don't see you. You don't see me, right? Kids do that too. Like, I if I don't make eye contact, I didn't hear you. Okay, we try that in Christianity as well. I know. Like, I've been there. I told you, I know you because I am you. I've been there. Okay, if you know that he's clearly given you an answer and you don't like it, let me just tell you, don't expect the answer to change until you obey. Don't expect for you to wait God out. Don't think that, well, I'll just wait him out and then he'll tell me something different. I promise. I've seen people wait years. And you know what they still got to come back to? The same. Are you going to obey or not? The children's ministry is still right there waiting for you. Are you going to obey or not? Again, it's just an example, but somebody needed to hear it. Don't expect the answer to change until you obey. Think about this. And these are just some examples that just popped in my head. Noah didn't really want to build a boat. He was like, God, I don't even know what a boat is. Like, what? It's never rained, and you think you're going to flood the world? Like, what? Why would I do that? Noah didn't want to do that. Moses, go back. He didn't want to lead the people. He was like, peace out. I don't really, I'm out. He ran away. He was living in the wilderness, right? He didn't want to. David didn't really want to be king. He was like, Saul's king. Why would I be king? I don't want to do that. Right? Even Jesus himself didn't want to go to the cross. He's like, God, if there's any other way, take the cup from me. You know, it's not like what you're going through is unique to you. It's not like your struggle with obedience is like, man, why does everybody else have it so easy? And God's just on my case. Christ himself didn't want to, but you know what? He chose to anyway. Like, that's when you actually put your big boy pants on. You put your big girl pants on. You're like, okay, you know what? It's not going to be fun, right? But I'm going to do it because that's what God said to do. And people will benefit because of it. People might even get saved because of it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, people are going to get saved. I might want to be a part of that. It's not about your glory anyway. It's about God's. Is he getting it because of you or in spite of you? And what are we hung up on? Like, these guys, he didn't even want to go to the cross. And what are we hung up on? We don't want to get in the ministry like God told us to. We want to read our Bible as much as we know that God tells us to, and we just can't find time. Or, you know, we don't want to, I don't know. We don't want to serve one another. Guess what? The command doesn't change just because up until now you've been disobedient. Just because every time the question has come up in your life so far, you've said no. Don't think that when you finally repent and you come back, God's going to be like, oh, all right, you really didn't want to do that. So I guess I'll give you it. Don't expect it. Right? Now, I will say this, because somebody needs to hear this. There will be times that when you disobey, the ship will sail without you. The opportunity might not be there anymore. Right? And so I'm not saying that God will, you know, maybe you're called to go and serve a people somewhere, be a missionary. I don't know. I'm talking big things. And you're like, no, I don't want to go. Here's one thing you need to know. God will get his will done with or without you. He'll use somebody else. And you have to deal with that. You have to live with that, knowing that you could have. Now, it doesn't change the fact that he will bring you back to a point of, are you going to follow or not? And so somebody needed to hear that, because, you know, I'm not saying that the opportunities are always going to be there, but the opportunity to serve is always going to be there. And so don't think that just because you don't want to, you can wait him out. Don't think that just because it doesn't feel right for you, get rid of your feelings, right? God gave us emotions for a reason, but when it comes time to obey or disobey, it really isn't a feeling thing. It's an obedience thing, right? And I needed to hear that, let alone somebody else. So, right? So what's it going to be, Jonah? Are you going to obey or not? Are you chapter 1 Jonah, or are you chapter 3 Jonah? I don't know. He says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, compare it to chapter 1. The only thing that's different is he says, preach instead of cry against it. But what's he say? Arise, go to Nineveh. Oh, I still got to go there? Yes. I still want you to get up. It's interesting that he still uses that word arise. Get off your butt. Stop wasting time. Get off your phone. Turn the TV off. Whatever it is in your life that's hung you up, right? Get up. and go. That's what he's saying. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Go and tell them what I told you to tell them. Right? Well, I don't really want to. And I, just think about this for a second, because there's probably a reason, and we'll talk about this in a couple weeks, there's probably a reason that Jonah didn't have to have a really great way of catching fish when he went to Nineveh after being inside the fish, right? He didn't have to have a really great message. I can only imagine what the dude's body looked like after being in the belly of a fish, right, for that long. I'm sure he's like, the stomach acid had eaten that. I don't even know what the dude looked like, but I'm sure just like, he's like a walking dead man. And if there's a walking dead man rolling up to me saying, hey, you need to change your ways or you're going to die, I'm like, you might know something about what you're talking about, right? I don't know. I'm just assuming, right? Again, those are things you can find out when you get there. I'm just assuming when you read between the lines, like, there's some reason that these people, these wicked people were like, all right, I'll do that, right? And it could just be the fact that God turned their hearts, right? And God can do that. I've seen it do that with people that I thought never, ever would get saved. And the next thing you know, like, they're in ministry with you, and I'm just like, my mind is blown. I didn't ever expect you to even halfway get serious. Now here you are just, my brother's an example of that, dude. And so here he is, he's preaching, doing all the things. Anyway, we all got a story like that. So he goes. He actually gets up and he goes. Maybe not with the best heart, but he does it. You know what? Sometimes obedience. Now, we always teach that obedience is three things, right? It's doing it exactly the way that you're told, right? It's doing it immediately, not when you get around to it, and it's doing it with a good heart attitude, right? And we teach our kids that. But I would encourage you this. Even if your heart's wrong, obey anyway. Because God will bring you around. Even if your heart is wrong. Like, there's times when you tell your kids, go clean up your room, go take out the trash, go do whatever they do. And they're like, I just don't want to, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, do it. And then when you get back, we'll talk about your heart, right? Maybe it wasn't perfect obedience, but it was obedience nonetheless, right? Maybe you didn't have the greatest heart when you went and took care of the kids today. But you know what? You did it. And then when you were in there, guess what happened? The kids were like encouraging you and it was actually fun. And you were like, this really wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, right? It doesn't always work like that. Sometimes you just like can't get out of there fast enough. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't have any hair in my head. And if I did, I'd have pulled it out. It's not always like that. Even if your heart's wrong, do it anyway. Because God will change your heart. He's in the business of doing that, believe it or not. Right? So, anyway, second one. We'll get through another one. The second, what? We'll get through one more, and then I'll have two more next week. Okay, the second thing to understand about obedience, your obedience to the Lord, out of the first part of verse 3, is your choice to obey today and in the future has no ties to your disobedience in the past. Your choice to obey right now, your choice to obey tomorrow, your choice to obey today and in the future has no ties to your disobedience in the past. Now, as some of you are still writing, let me just, before we even get very far, because somebody's like, what? Guess what? Your disobedience in the past, it follows you sometimes. There's a weight to your sin. Let's just call it what it is, right? Sometimes it's jail time, right? Sometimes it's broken relationships. Sometimes it's, you know, who knows what it is. Your disobedience, it will follow you, and you have to deal with the consequences of your sin. But it doesn't change what you do from today moving forward. You get to decide. No matter how bad it was, no matter how bad you were, no matter how far off you got, it doesn't change the fact that today can be the day that you decide, I'm going to follow. And I'm going to do it from today moving forward. There is no tie between the two. What's the old saying? Everybody says, you know, one bad decision leads to another bad decision, which leads to another bad. You know, there's, if you follow that pattern, a good decision doesn't ever just fall into that pattern unless you choose to make it, right? Because as you do one thing wrong, if you sin a little bit, it's a little bit easier the next time to do it. And it's a little bit easier the next time. And the next thing you know, you're nowhere to be found in the will of God. Right? You're so far off in being sanctified in the Word of God that you're just because you ran in the past from God's call doesn't disqualify you from submitting to it today. Now, it might disqualify you from some specific things until you prove yourself faithful. Right? But just because you ran in the past, just because you were just like Jonah and you were like, peace out, God, I'm not doing it. Just because that was your story, it doesn't disqualify from you from submitting to it today. Right? He's brought you to the same decision. What are you going to do with it? We tell ourselves that, you know, because we failed, quote unquote, back then. You know, everybody's got a story. I just really messed up. I really got far off. I walked away from the Lord. I was in this sin. I was doing something, right? Just because that you failed then, right? Well, we tell ourselves that because I did that, that God could never use me now, right? I was so far off that there's no way God could use me. He'll use somebody else. I'm not good enough, right? And we walk around in this like self-pity that like God can't use me, right? You know, we think that God can never use me, and we sit on the sidelines and we sulk and we complain and we want people to feel sorry for us and we become the victim. And, you know, it's always about, well, woe is me. Well, guess what? You get to change your story. Christ changed your eternity. You can decide to obey. You can decide to be more than just, well, ho-hum. But too often we're just like, well, you just don't know my situation. You apparently don't know my God. Because he's in the business of changing situations, of changing lives, of bringing just really broken things and making something really cool out of them. Every story that you read in this book, it's like God doesn't use the most well-equipped. He doesn't use the most eloquent. He doesn't use the smartest, praise the Lord, because y'all know I'm not the smartest, right? He uses the weak things to confound the wise. He uses the things that nobody would expect to get something done. Why? Because that way when the world sees it, they're like, wow, there ain't no way he's smart enough to do that. That has to be of the Lord, right? There's no way that he was able to do that. That's got to be of God. That's why he does that, right? He doesn't use the strongest guy. He uses the weakest. He doesn't use, because he wants the glory. It has nothing to do with us anyway. But we tell ourselves that, well, I messed up and God, he's just moved on past me. No, you've moved on past yourself. And you're living in this world of self-pity and self-denial and all these things. And it's like, wake up. God wants to use you right now, today, right? Whatever it is that you know God is telling you to do, that you're like, yeah, but I just don't think that, stop. Say, you know what, God, fine, I'll do it. Maybe even with the wrong heart. I encourage you to have the right heart, but maybe with the wrong heart. And say, you know what, God, I'll do it. You'll be amazed at what happens, right? And the next thing you know, like, I'm telling you, God had no business using me. I was a fool. Right? I knew nothing about nothing. I'm not that smart. I can't talk too good. Right? I fumble over my, all the things. But you know what? God said go. And I'm like, fine. If that's what you want me to do, I don't have time, but I'll do it, God. And here I am, however many years later, and I still feel like I'm not getting anything done. But you know what? God's getting the glory. God's using it. You know, people are getting saved. People's lives are being changed. Their marriages are like, God's getting the glory. It has nothing to do with me. It's just because, you know what? I said, fine, if that's what you want to use me for, I will. I don't think it's wise, God. There are people way better, right? There are people way stronger. There are people that look the part way more than me. And God's like, I don't care. So whatever it is in your life that you're like, I just don't think, stop. You know, you know how many times I talk to people and they're like, I really want to get up in the mornings and read. I really do. Like, I really want to make it happen. Then why don't you? You are the only person stopping it from happening. We come up with every single excuse in the book to not read this book. I've heard some of the most crazy things in the world. And God's like, all right, whenever you're ready, I'll be here. Brings you back to the same decision over and over and over again. Man, it's crazy. We sit on the sidelines and we sulk. Right? What if Moses would have done that? What if God would have been like, hey, Moses, what do I want you to do? And Moses was like, I don't talk too good. And he's like, no, I want to use you anyway. And he's like, no, I don't talk too good, God. And finally, God ended up having, you know, to bring Aaron along. And there's a lot of glory that Moses could have been a part of without Aaron. But you know what? God got it done anyway. But what if he had been like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm just not good enough. And sat on the sidelines. God would have got the nation of Israel where they needed to go. And he would have had to look at that and think, wow, I couldn't have parted the Red Sea anyway. It had to have been of God, right? What if David would have been like, you know what, God, I'm not, my brothers are way better at this than I am. They look the part more, like they are more, you know, David is a man after God's own heart, and he could have been like, nah, I can't do it. I've messed up too bad in the past. I'm not the part. I don't. What if Peter would have done that? Man, we all know that, you know, Peter, man, he messed up a lot of times. He's got that foot and mouth syndrome. He always had something to say, and it seemed like it was always the wrong thing, and it was always at the wrong time. And at some point, Peter could have been like, you know what? I'm done. Every time I try, it blows up in my face. Everybody's laughing at me. This is, you know, and at the end of it, what's he have to do? He's like, God, I will never deny you. And three times in the span of a few hours, and he looks God in the eye and it says what? He went away and wept bitterly. And that could have been the end of it. You could have never heard about Peter again after that. But what happens? He's like, you know what? My past is not going to define what I do today. He ends up being like the start, other than Christ himself, of the church. Right? And I'm talking about the Jewish church at the time. But anyway, you guys know the book of Acts. We'll get there soon enough. But anyway, what if Paul would have done that? Paul had every reason not to follow God. Even after God saved him, he had every reason to be like, these people will never talk to me. I was killing them, right? I can never do what God wants me to do because these people... I could give you example after example after example in the Bible of guys that could have done what some of y'all are doing, what some of us are doing. But you know what? They decided that, you know what? My past disobedience really has nothing to do with my obedience today. They're not tied together, right? You can break the cycle of sin, of disobedience, of whatever it is in your life if you just simply choose to obey. Now, I understand that whatever that might mean in your life might be hard. Sometimes like whatever it is that you need to give up, that you need to quit doing, that you need to stop, like sometimes there are like chains that bind you. The cool thing about God is, you know, he breaks chains and he has the power to do it anyway. If you're just simply obedient, he'll do it in your life. The question is, are you willing? Are you actually willing? I heard a sermon recently and the guy was talking about, you know, we've all got these three friends, shoulda, coulda, and woulda, right? And we bring them around in our life all the time. Man, I should have done that in my life, and you know, they're always there. If I would have done that, you know, I would have done that, and man, I would be here, and you know, I could have made, if I just could have. You got to stop. You got to break ties with all shoulda, coulda, and woulda, and decide that, you know what? You honestly, I tell people this all the time, in counseling, in different situations. The only thing you can control is what you do today and tomorrow. They still don't have a way for you to go back in time and change what you did, or worse, what you said sometimes, right? That there's no way to go back and get that. Sometimes we're like, man, if I could just bring those words back in my mouth. Guess what? You can't. The only thing that you can do, I don't care where you were yesterday, where you were last week, how messed up it was. The only thing that you can control is, what am I going to do right now? What am I going to do tomorrow? What does next week look like? Like, there might be things that need healed, that need time, but I'm telling you, the only thing that you can change is today. You've got to start living in today. Like, we spend our entire life living in the past and in the future. If I could have done this in the past, if I would have done this, if I should have done that, and then we look at what I'm going to do this, and I'm going to... We never just live for today. I heard that recently, and I'm just like, there's so much truth to that. We spend so much of our life thinking about the past and the future, and we don't ever just live for today. Now, I understand we need to have plans, like all of those things. Come on now, you guys know me. We have to plan. But you've got to make the right choice right now. Because if you don't make the right one right now, it doesn't really matter what you're planning on doing 2 weeks from now. You're never going to get there. Stop telling yourself you can't obey today because you messed up yesterday. Because that's not how it works. That's just not how it works. Right? Jonah had every reason in the world to be like, God, seriously? Like, I didn't want to go. You should have killed me in the fish. Like, I didn't even want out of the fish. I just wanted to be on the right terms with you. But you know what? He heard and he obeyed. And you'll find out what happens. Like, you can read it. There's a lot there. But, man, obedience, there's so much to obedience. But it's so simple. You just do it. Right? I don't know where y'all are at and what it is in your life or how you're, like, at some point, you've got to decide, all right, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. This is a conversation I had with God when I got saved. I knew the gospel. I'd heard it enough times. I was convicted at my core, but I thought I was too broken. I thought my past was too messed up. I thought that it was just, and I told God, and this probably isn't the best way to encourage people to get saved, but I had a conversation with God that was very matter of fact, and I told God that if you want it, God, you can have it, but you're getting all of it. Like, I don't want any of this stuff anymore in my life. If you're going to take it, I need you to take all of it, and I'll be all in. If that's what you want me to do. And some of y'all, it's like, I'm not even talking about getting saved. I'm assuming you're here at 9 o'clock and y'all, whatever it is that God's telling you to do, just just figure it out and be like, all right, God, if that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. And if it makes me look like a fool, so be it. You told me to do it, right? Like, we've all lived this life of, if I would have just done this, and that's not, guess what? This is God's great second chance. Decide today to say, here am I. Send me. Whatever that means. We'll get to the next two next week and finish up this step on obedience next week. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, you're good to us, and we have no business, you know, coming to you in a fashion to say anything other than just falling on our knees and just humbly just reverencing you for who you are, Lord. But yet you call us, you desire to use us. We are nothing, but you want to use us to reach the world. And God, we just need to simply obey. Whatever that is in our life, you know, it starts simple and sometimes it gets really complex, but you know what, God, you want to use us and we have to be obedient. Lord, I pray that somebody heard something today because there's some stuff here that I needed to hear. And so, Lord, I pray you just convict our hearts, just draw us to you, that we would be more like you. In Christ's name, amen. Don't forget to be praying for the Cohens. Things are going good, but just pray for them, okay?